Good morning. It is Thursday, and that means time for Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for joining us, and you are always welcome to be part of the conversation, however it may wander, whether it leads hither and or yon. You can give us a ring at 850-414-1234. That's our local number. If you are old-fashioned and have a landline and you are on long distance, does anybody actually do that anymore? It's 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Now, it seems so disconnected somehow. You drive around the Tallahassee area nowadays, just about no matter what section of town you may be in, and you can't help but be struck by all of the sudden surge in construction that just seems to be bubbling up like those toadstools after the proverbial rainstorm. And you got new businesses and housing developments and student rental housing and all that. And then all the economic indicators that come out periodically, you're showing positive things in like area employment. We are now statistically at full employment in Leon County, about comparable in Wakulla, a little worse in Gadsden, but still in comparison to the state average, we are right in there. But underlying all of this is the fact that a very large number of our neighbors simply do not have enough to eat, and especially the healthy kinds of foods that better off folks usually take for granted. Now we're headed into that time of year when so many families suffer even more because the kids no longer have access to school breakfast and lunch programs. So with all of that being said, this morning's Perspectives is going to talk about the problem of hunger for sure, but also we're going to be looking at what is being done in the way of solutions. We like to keep things positive. So that is what we're going to be talking about. And again, you are always welcome to be part of that. Let's go around the table and meet the great folks who will be part of that discussion as we kick things off. First off, Mary Deakle, Director of Development, Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Good to see you, Mary.
Good to see you, Tom, as always.
We also have a couple of cougars with us here, specifically Godby Cougars, right next to Mary here. Kat Spradlin, the co-sponsor of the school's National Honor Society. Kat, good to see you.
Glad to be here.
Okay, Candace Gottney is right next to you, teacher and sponsor of the National Honor Society, also from Godby High School. The significance of the presence of these Godby Cougars will become apparent in just a few moments. Candace, mm-hmm. Good to see you, too.
Thank you for having us here.
No stranger to these microphones, back with us, Maisha Mitchell, who is, oh my gosh, co-founder of the Tallahassee Food Network, executive director of the Frenchtown Redevelopment Council. She just handed me a new card here. Ross Service Coordinator for the Orange Avenue United Tenants Association, that's a venerable right. organization which you are injecting new life into now.
It's my heart. I love it.
And also, let's say, you are going to need something much bigger than a regular business card for all the stuff you do, Maisha.
Thank you.
But thank you for coming and being part of the conversation here. Tracy Ippolito, volunteer of the full summer, is with us. Tracy, also research projects coordinator for FSU's Center for Ocean Atmospheric Prediction Studies and graduate student communication at FSU. So we can talk weather, too, Tracy?
No, I'll leave that to the scientists.
Okay.
Thank you. But I am grateful to be here. Thanks.
And we are grateful you are here with us, too. And, of course, our old friend Laurie Messer, volunteer of the full summer and adjunct history instructor at TCC. Professor?
Well, instructor.
Thanks so much, Laurie, and also thanks for helping to organize this. Much more on full summer coming up here, but statement of problem. Mary Deakle, we have been saying this. We are among the hungriest places in Florida right now in our area. So give us the 30,000-foot overview. How are we doing? And where do we stand relative to other places?
Well, you know, there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is that, again, North Florida, the Big Bend area, is one of the hungriest parts of our state. Gadsden County is the hungriest. Madison is second. And believe it or not, Leon County is the third hungriest county in our state. Mm-hmm. We look at the whole Big Bend area, and all five top counties or bottom counties, whichever you would like to say, are in our community. And with all the farms and with all of the Gulf of Mexico right out there, it's really a sad state of affairs. But there is good news. We have been doing better. We just got some figures from Feeding America, and that shows us we have reduced the number of food insecure people and children in our community. We still have over 30,000 children, though, who will go hungry this summer when school is out, and we need to increase our efforts so we can close that gap. Last year it was 32,000. This year it's 30.
Okay, still going in the right direction, though.
Yes, so it takes all of us to get there. We want to close that gap because it's still a problem if there's even one child who's going to bed hungry.
Well, as we mentioned during the run-up to our program here, because of the lack of access for so many of those kids to the breakfast and lunch programs at schools, because schools are shut down for the summer, Laurie Messer, that is where Full Summer came about.
You know, and that wasn't the thought when we did it. It was a St. John's Visioning the Vineyard initiative, and I asked could we host a meal assembly, and they said that the only weekend they had available in our fellowship hall was the first Saturday in June. And it was after that I realized through talking to Second Harvest that there was a real need during the summer, so I feel like it was almost a meant-to-be thing that we've now had it. This is our sixth year, and it's always the first Saturday of June.
Well, it has literally been a movable feast. And for those folks who don't know what Full Summer is, we'll get into the full explanation of that. But the movable feast for the past couple of years has focused on Godby High School. And so Kat and Candace, you guys will be very, very much involved in that coming up when?
June 1st and June 2nd.
Yep.
All right. And the last word I heard was that you are okay for volunteers? You guys are all right there?
Actually, we closed down registration this week. But I will say this. We have to raise $15,000 to buy the food that we assemble. But anything that we raise above that goes as a donation to Second Harvest of the Big Bend, where every dollar they can buy four meals. Mm-hmm. So we still have the website open at www.afullsummer.org, and we accept donations online and by check.
Now, that is going to be just one incredibly, I don't want to call it frantic because that's almost a pejorative. It seems like, you know, that doesn't sound good, but it's fun.
Yes.
Right? It is actually a community event where you have how many volunteers come in and what do they do, guys?
Well, we have teachers, faculty, staff, we have the administration, and we also have kids. We have our high school students who are volunteering to set up these meals and to put together the stations where people will go through and get their food. And we have like 20 plus kids in there helping to organize things, and they are really good at it. You tell them what needs to be done, and they do it. And they do it with a happy face. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's also, there's music and there's dancing and all kinds of frivolity and all that. And I notice that, Tracy, every time we have one of these things. There are teams, though, and you will have organizations, be in public or private sector. These folks will come out, they'll put on the hair nets, and they'll just start.
The hair nets, the beer nets, you know, it's wonderful. No, it is. You're right. It really is fun. And we do have music going on and things like that. What's really fun is to see the groups. Some of our groups will even and dress up because they may come from they're all part of coworkers at the same organization, or they're part of the same community group, or maybe they're just individuals who wanted to get involved and they don't know anybody else at their table. But by the end of this two-hour session, everybody at that table feels really great. And last year, I think, Lori, didn't we do more than 60,000 meals in a two-hour period? So yeah, it's fun, it's exciting, it's a little chaotic, but every time people are walking out the door, they said, thank you for giving us an opportunity to do something, to be part of the solution. And that's, I think, what feels really good about a Full Summer is it is being part of the solution. I listened to, you know, what Mary was talking about, and I remember when Lori came to me and talked about this, and the first thing we all think is, well, what can I do? And this is something that we can do. So,
well, 60,000 meals, which just seems incomprehensibly wonderful and has a monumental impact on the whole thing, though Myesha is just, kind of that drop in the proverbial bucket because, yeah, you can have a meal today, but you're going to be hungry again tonight and tomorrow and the day after.
Definitely.
So how bad is it in some of our neighborhoods here that are now struggling with, even in the shadow of Godbee High School, we got a food desert because Winn-Dixie went poof?
Yes, of course. And it's not getting any better. I mean, we hoped it would be, but now we see more of the food swamp. More convenience stores, more tobacco shops, more alcohol, you know, in local communities, and more fast food programs. And so we wanted to get people to thinking healthy. You know, how do you get to healthy food options, and how do you do it yourself? There's an individual responsibility here, even though there's so many people still impacted because they don't have transportation to get to a grocery store. They have children to take with them, and then they have to walk a quarter of a mile to get to the bus station, bus stop. So it's very difficult. Growing gardens, learning how to grow your own food is really one of my basic pet peeves. How do you get people thinking about what they can contribute to this process so that you don't have to have this, I guess it's a lodge of folk who are saying we're hungry all the time, that you can grow vegetables and you can grow fruit in your own backyard or in a container. We have different ways of showing people how to grow food. You know, you can grow them in an agro bucket. We talk about a bucket. You can put a container garden if you don't have space to do it in your yard, but to educate yourself about what role can I play, you know, and how can I get my children to the healthiest space possible. Now, we need partnerships. This is one of our basic things, collaboration and partnerships. And I've been in partnership with Second Harvest for many years, and, you know, they bring us very good food. We also want to see more how we can organize that food around helping people to understand what is this food, you know, from the garden. New kinds of foods people are growing, but they don't understand what it is, and they don't know how to prepare it. So getting women, men, children in community to learn how to grow their own food and how to prepare it is one of the key things that we're working on. How to prepare good, healthy food for your children on a actually $5 budget, maybe? Mm. It's easy to grow food. Mm-hmm. And how do you do it is one of my major concerns.
Well, you were one of the initial, I guess, push efforts for that area in Frenchtown. We now have, of course, a Frenchtown Farmers Market that is up and running. We have neighborhood gardens there.
We
have the iGrow folks over on Dunn Street and also down here on Orange Avenue, and that seems to be proliferating. And today there is the opening of a brand new farmers market at the Smith-Williams Service Center.
There is.
In the Bond neighborhood.
Yes, indeed. We're very happy to be able to be a part of that process through the Tallahassee Food Network and iGrow whatever you'd like. So we're continually looking for ways to get more food, healthier options into our communities to assist our people.
The problem of hunger and some of the solutions, what we're talking about today here on Perspectives. And your input is always welcome at 850-414-1234 or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We will be right back. Tasty perspectives when it comes to talking about the food situation here in our area. And again, you are welcome to be part of that. And if you're just joining us here, we have Mary Deacle from Second Harvest of the Big Bend, from Godbee High School, Candace Gontney and Kat Spradlin from Full Summer. A couple folks here, Laurie Messer, volunteer, and another volunteer named Tracy Ippolito and Maisha Mitchell with the Tallahassee Food Network and a whole host of other organizations as well. If you're just tuning in and you missed the first part, a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. You go to the radio tab, pull that down. You got a list of programs. Click on Perspectives. We try to have the most recent one up within, 12 to 24 hours of when it actually appears on your radio, so you can go back and listen to it whenever you want. As long as we were talking about Full Summer and some of the response programs going into the break, we heard off air that Godbee High School, again, is a seething hotbed of response to this whole situation here. So either Candace and or Kat, what are some of the other things happening over in Cougarville that folks would be interested in knowing how you guys are responding to the needs of the community mm-hmm. there?
Well, we're blessed to be partners with Second Harvest as far as a food pantry that mm-hmm. a lot of our kids take advantage of. We also one night a week pick up the leftover end of day bread from Panera. We make bags for some of our kids to help them out at home. And they come by my office every Tuesday and pick it up and take it home for the day. They're always asking when the next bag's coming. Some of our kids that are going to be participating in full summer will probably be some of the kids that will take advantage of the full summer. And if not, they know friends. They're just word of mouth that this is going on from kid to kid, telling them what we're involved in and how they can be involved or how they can take advantage of this opportunity for them. I mean, we have kids that if they don't make it for breakfast in the morning, they don't get breakfast. Or if they aren't at school that day, they're waiting for breakfast the next day. So having things like this and being able to help our kids out, it feels really good to be able to help them. And I know that it our Smarty Pants National Honor Society kids that are taking part in this, they love to help others, and this is a great opportunity for them. So we appreciate just being involved.
And somehow it doesn't seem quite as onerous when you get a whole bunch of folks that are jumping in on this situation then. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to also thank Godbee High School. They're working on the Mega Pantry, which will be on May 20th with a New Day Initiative, which is another one of our partner agencies. And it is a large mobile pantry. They're looking at over 1,500 people coming out and receiving fresh fruits and vegetables, frozen food and canned foods and other things that we encourage as healthy alternatives. And so we thank Godbee for opening up its doors again to make sure that we're feeding the community right there.
We're so happy to be a part of all this.
Right. And another option has been your work you're doing with 21st Century, the after-school program. That is very exciting to watch young people get fresh fruit from the trees that through the Tallahassee Leon Fruit and Nut, they help us in a partnership. We bring lemons and grapefruit and strawberries and all kinds of wonderful food that they can taste that they've experienced before. Mm-hmm. And then they made salsa, you know, to learn how to make food and cook. They're very excited about it. So thank you for that opportunity.
Things we take for granted. You know, a student that's never had a fresh lemon or fresh strawberry and being able to provide them with that opportunity might be the one thing that they need to kind of turn them and help them out a little bit.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking, though, Mary Deagle, I'm flashing back to something I saw. This was a documentary the other day I yanked up on YouTube, one of these black and white things from, I think it was about 1932. And it showed people in an urban setting lined up outside of a soup kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this is 2018, and we're talking about like a latter-day soup kitchen here.
Well, we have over 135 partner agencies, and they're everything from the Godbee High School's school pantry to churches who have pantries to feeding sites in our community that are helping those folks who are either on the streets or who cannot feed their families. So there's 135 partner agencies out there. We're always looking for more, but they're the ones who distribute the food. Mm-hmm. You know, we get it in, we make sure it's healthy and good, and then we get it out to those agencies who are serving their communities over the whole Big Bend.
Okay, we're probably getting a little bit beyond our realm of focus here, but when it comes to how do you solve this on a permanent basis? Just more jobs, more you know, some kind of wealth redistribution, I don't know. How do we stop this?
Well, one of the aims of Second Harvest is not only to feed the people today, but to stop the hunger for tomorrow. And we are trying to bridge that gap that we have of the 134,000 people in the Big Bend who go to bed hungry some nights. But we're also looking at how do we, during a mobile pantry, when people wait for 2 hours to get the food, how can we then incorporate other nonprofits and agencies there to help people with life skills and career skills and all the things that they need to help get them out of poverty? Because if you're only concerned today and tomorrow and the next day about putting food on your table for your child tonight, whether to sit in the dark and feed them something or go without so they can do their homework. Mm-hmm. If you're only concerned about that, you cannot be concerned about making a better life for yourself and your family. Mm-hmm. So until we can close that gap, that is one of the biggest things that we can do as a community, close the gap and work on then helping people get out of poverty through those life skills or career skills.
Yeah, because, Myesha, that's what we keep hearing, that Leon County has one of the biggest challenges with income disparity of any place in Florida.
Now listen, the history shows us this has been a problem for many, many years in our area. And we know and we see things around us to support that. One of the things I'm very happy with Second Harvest, the idea of trying to bring it closer to the people. You know, you get the food to the people. And while they're there, one of the things we have done in several of the locations in public housing is provide opportunities for other nonprofits, community groups to come in and show people about what resources are available. People have been able to get telephones. You know, folks have been able to get information about sickle cell disease. You know, different providers will come in and educate during that two-hour block where people are working. They're waiting there to get support, you know, for their families. But while they're there, we want additional support there. Now, we need a big think here going on, particularly when it comes to what role can the business community play, you know, in this initiative. So we're talking about teaching people to cook. That is the biggest problem I've seen, because many of the women who tell me from a focus group we've had with women talking about perceptions around infant mortality, and they said that a lot of the women don't cook. You know, environmental health, women just don't cook anymore. They take their children to get Happy Meals because it's much cheaper and it's easier. You can get everything in one spot. We are concerned about that because now not only are they not having healthy children, but the parents. And the other thing about the summer feeding program that is happening, you know, through the summer when children are hungry, is that the children are allowed to bring, the mothers are allowed to bring their children for lunch every day or for breakfast, but they can't eat. What kind of nonsense is that? Where we're talking about feeding a whole family, getting a whole family well. The mothers have to sit there while the children eat because the rule from the federal government is that you cannot feed adults.
Well, that's one of the things we find in our mobile pantries, which we do throughout the Big Bend, is we'll have butternut squash or a bag of frozen strawberries or blueberries right. or other fruits. And again, nobody knows how to cook those. Somebody handed me back a bag of frozen blueberries one day and said, I don't know what to do with these.
Exactly.
And I did off a list, but what we do is we have a nutritionist on our staff, and she is there with recipes and tips and tricks of how to cook those things because, yes, that's one of the bad problems. So what's great about a full summer is that they give us bags of food that are already pre-done. The spices are in there. Everything's in there for the macaroni and cheese whatever. And all you have to do is add water. Mm. So when somebody's still learning, they've got that option.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, Laurie, it's kind of like I hate to be military, but an MRE, sort of, kind of.
It is. It's kind of like an MRE. It is developed by nutritionists. So it's a nutritional meal that's easy to put together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this thing about food insecurity, it's not just the people who are looking for food's problem. It's our entire community's problem. Because when you can't study because you're hungry, that affects academic performance, which affects our population as far as who's going to get a job and what kind of job can they qualify for if they don't have the proper education. So it's not it should be everybody's concern that we have such a large percentage of food insecure people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you get into even the availability of food, it is the wrong kind of food. We talked about this before, the food desert syndrome, the convenience store situation. And Myesha, isn't there an opportunity there, too, when you can bring in, whether it's folks from, say, the Jim Moran Institute or FAMU's Small Business Center, to maybe put little neighborhood grocery stores back on corners in specific neighborhoods?
Corner stores. Okay, a couple of years back, we did a research with neighborhood convenience stores, Southside and Frenchtown, and learned from them that they would love to be in partnerships and collaboration, but they don't have the resources. You know, they don't have the refrigeration. They don't have a way to keep the food fresh if people wanted to come and buy from them. So their market rate is driven based on what it is that they can do from their shop. But if they had a collaborating partner to work with them to have a place where your refrigeration is there, you can put a little food there, and try to get people more engaged. But then there's a component behind that that says we have to educate people about what to buy, because typically they've been used to buying certain types of food at these locations. And they say, we will partner with you. Help us. So this is an opportunity for all of the types of groups in our community to come together collaboratively and say, what is this big thing? You know, how can we get to addressing this as a community and that we all speak in the same language? You know, we know it happens. Those convenience stores are there. Build upon the convenience stores. You know, help them get better food. You know, they already know right now their base is with cigarettes and with alcohol. And they are not dealing with the issues of fresh foods unless somebody can help them understand and build their base of understanding around that need in our community.
Well, we're joined by Parky on the line here. Let's go to the phones and say hi. Hey, Parky.
Hey there. My name is Parky Parkhurst, and I just felt compelled to call because you have put together a group of really good people there. And I've actually worked with many of them.
Hey, Parky.
And I just wanted to thank you guys for all that you're doing. We, you know, I've seen what you've done in the past, and I see what you guys are doing now. And it's wonderful what you're doing for our community, and I just wanted you to know
that is
a great job. And if you need my help, I'm there for you.
Well, Parky, thank you so much for the input on that and for the shout-out. You got a lot of smiling faces around the table. Before you dial off, though, here, what are your thoughts? How do we fix this thing?
Well, I think what we have to do is do, you know, you're doing a great job right here. I mean, we're going to have to get more people involved with what we do. I work for the Salvation Army, so I understand what they're doing, and because I'm trying to do the same thing. We're trying to feed those who can't get meals. There's so much waste. In my opinion, there's so much waste going on right now. And what we eat, we throw away so much food. We could feed all starving people in our community with the food we throw away. And, you know, along with the help of other folks, you know, who could step up and help with what we're trying to do to try to raise funds to try to help these folks. So I think it's a community thing, along with taking a look at our waste, you know, what we're doing with throwing away food.
That's a good point. Well, that really, Parky, thank you so much, and thank you for all that you're doing to help out in this area, too. But with all of the, I was thinking, if you order a meal now from a restaurant, it can be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Can any of this stuff maybe be picked up, processed centrally, okay, whether it's from restaurants or, oh my gosh, I got a little – and we know the liability. We all have to go through that. You talked about that during one of our discussions before, Mary Deacle. I remember that, you know, you can't take a swollen can into Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Thank you very much for your donation, but we can't use it. But
well, I know today during a fill truck, which is happening out at the Tallahassee Democrat headquarters, people are bringing by food. And what it'll do is go back to our warehouse. Our volunteers will inspect it, make sure that it is something that is viable. The people that we serve in all these 135 agencies are marginal, sometimes folks who are more likely to get sick from something than some of us sitting around this table. Mm-hmm. And so they're elderly and they're children, and right, they may have compromised immune systems. So we want to make sure that what we're giving them is of the highest quality possible. Just because you're poor does not mean you have to get sick from food.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we inspect everything. And for every donation we get, we turn it into food. For every 28 cents we get, we can provide a meal. Well, I endeavor you to go online and get a meal for 28 cents. But you could do that with your contributions as well.
Yeah, because you cannot get a small bag of potato chips for
28 cents.
No way.
So,
and then that's not healthy.
No.
And that's one of the reasons we have such obesity in our children, is they're being fed on things that fill them up, especially during the summer times and mm-hmm. on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the obesity is so high. And that also affects the health of our children as well. I heard another statistic the other day that just shocked me. During the summertime, families' budgets go up by approximately $300 per month to feed children who are at home. Well, I don't think many of us can take a $300 hit to our budget every month during the summer. And for someone who is living on the margin, where $400 would put them into abject poverty, that's a big deal.
The genesis, as you said before, Laurie Messer, for a full summer, was that St. John's got involved in a program to help alleviate hunger in the community. And it turned out to kind of, you know, becomes something much bigger. And like Parkey said, working through the Salvation Army, what's the role of the various faith communities in all of this?
You know, it's been wonderful. After St. John's hosted that initial year, Becky Liner from First Baptist Church joined Tracy and myself, and we're the three musketeers of the full summer. And so with St. John's partnership and First Baptist Church, since then we have grown. We have, I have a whole list of faith communities. Bethel Missionary Baptist Church have joined us this year. Pisgah United Methodist Church, First Baptist, as I mentioned, Tallahassee Heights United Methodist Church, Advent, have joined us, as along with groups like Alpha Delta Kappa, Teachers Fraternity, Sniffen and Spelman, Fonville Lewis Messer and McConaughey. Also, I hate to not list every one of them, but we have a total of 25 teams that come to this. And one other thing I wanted to mention about in association with canned food is we've decided to expand the mission of a full summer, and we have a pilot program this year where the month of May we are conducting a canned food drive, and we have seven houses of worship and businesses that are participating in this. And on May 31st, we're going to go around in Tracy and Rob's RV and pick up canned food, and it'll be part of a full summer's total meal count. So we expect to go well over 60,000 meals this year if we include the canned food drive as well. So if anybody's interested in a canned food drive, go to the website, www.afullsummer.org.
Or if you are associated with a church and you guys are looking for something beyond, you know, foreign missionary work, which is great, and that's wonderful and all that, but you
Or businesses, and we have Temple Israel.
They've joined us this year as well.
The property appraiser's office just called us the other day and asked if they could do a collection. So, you know, because what we found is, I mean, you can only have so many volunteers, and isn't it a wonderful problem to have? We have over 200 people almost within a few weeks of beginning the next a full summer sign up to be a volunteer at the event. And we're sad to turn people away and say, well, thank you very much. So that's where the idea for the canned food drive came up.
Okay, more to come on Perspectives as we talk about the hunger situation in our area and what is being put together as a way of responding to that, to have fewer hungry people, especially fewer hungry kids in our area. 850-414-1234 or perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives with Mary Deagle and Candace Countney and Kat Spradland and Tracy Ippolito and Laurie Messer and Myesha Mitchell talking about hunger and our community response therein. What do teachers see? And I remember, full disclosure, used to be a teacher 10,000 years ago, but you knew the kids who had not had breakfast. I mean, you could see the blood sugar levels dropping before your eyes.
When they can't focus on the work, they can't get what they need from school, and they can't, you know, do what you said and become better people. They can't get a better job, so they can't, you know, improve their worlds. So, you know, you have a kid who hasn't eaten breakfast, and you can absolutely see that. And when you encourage a kid to go eat breakfast, when you say, you know, what do you need? Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, get you food. We can make this happen. We have people who are helping us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't know.
No, you don't know. And my, before Godby, I was an elementary school teacher, and I taught elementary for 12 years before I came to Godby. And the seeing the little ones that, I mean, sometimes our older kids have some other outlets that they can go to, but the little ones that come straight from home that don't know that there is breakfast on someone else's table every single day, that just broke my heart. So, I mean, most teachers have something in their classroom all the time. We spend our money to make sure that our kids have what they need at every level. I mean, we have amazing teachers at Godby. We take care of our kids. We make sure they have what they need. But during the summer when we don't mm-hmm. see them. I mean, this is why we need programs like this. We can take care of them for the 180 days we have them, but after we let them go, would they need something like this?
And there are kids out there who have mm-hmm. these problems all year long, mm-hmm. and there are kids out there that we can't recognize.
Right.
But like you said, the friends know each other. Mm-hmm. They know, hey, go to this program, yep. or hey, let me help you out. Or they'll give a name to one of us, mm-hmm. and we right. can get them the help they need.
So one of the things I see from a community perspective regarding the breakfast programming is that, and I just recently came from a Florida Blue Foundation community health summit. Anyway, what they were saying is that there's a national effort now towards universal breakfast programming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To move it from just those young people who've been identified in like a, mm-hmm. What's it called?
The free or reduced lunch?
Free and reduced lunch. And not just targeting that group because right. there's a stigma there. I mean, the kids won't go eat breakfast because of the stigma. But if everybody got fed, right.
well,
it's cheaper that way for them to just feed all the students a good, healthy breakfast, and then everybody will come. So you don't have to worry about anybody being targeted.
Right.
Well, in some of our schools, our Title I schools right. specifically have free breakfast and free lunch. And then we have some other schools in town that have written a grant to make sure that none of the kids have to pay for breakfast or lunch. My daughter goes to a school, it's not a Title I school, but they have a grant. So right. they get free breakfast and free lunch regardless. So there's no stigma attached to it
in
specifically at our schools. But there are hungry kids everywhere. It doesn't
exactly.
matter what side
it's
of town it's on.
That's mm-hmm. what they're saying. Instead of saying Title I, you know,
right.
all
Everybody.
Students get free breakfast at school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're finding at the federal level that so much money gets left on the table. We could feed all the kids,
yes.
and it's cheaper to feed all of the children as opposed to targeting a population of children because of the 65%.
You're right.
Agreed.
Yeah. And the kids would eat.
Go right ahead.
The kids would actually eat that food if there wasn't a stigma or if they
exactly.
didn't have to have a special number. Or something.
Exactly.
Because I've taught at other schools mm-hmm. that aren't Title I in the county, and there are a lot of kids who choose not to eat because their friends aren't.
Thank you.
And so, you know, if we can get this available to every student, it would be
exactly.
really, really
That's
amazing.
A policy mm-hmm. initiative I think we should work
We
on.
Hear an interesting thing. Our backpack program, which works with students, and we can't feed everyone, but we send a backpack home on Friday so they have mm-hmm. six nutritious meals mm-hmm. over the weekend.
Yep.
And those kids are tearing them apart on the bus.
That's right.
And eating as much as they can right then, because when they know when they get home, they've got to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as much as they can put in their mouth. So you just see how hungry so many of our children are on a daily basis. And how can you focus? I mean, I, as an adult, I know what I'm like at 2:00 in the afternoon. Mm. If I haven't had anything to eat, it is not fun for anybody around me. But I can imagine as a teacher having children who
exactly.
are like that, they're their problems mm-hmm. are exasperated, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
But do we see any of the pushback from this? And I'm referencing something that I saw personally that I'll share with you. Oh, I guess a couple months ago, that the farm share folks from Quincy, they were over at the Leon County Sheriff's Office, and they had a food distribution set up. And there was a lot of media coverage there. We were there and the TV stations and the paper and all. And I happened to be in a situation where the TV coverage of that event was coming up on a monitor in the room, and somebody, not a friend of mine, but somebody that I knew, was fixated on the fact that there was a Cadillac Escalade in that line coming through. And obviously some affluent, undeserving person was taking food who didn't deserve it.
Mm. Well, I will tell you what happens in a mobile pantry. Is people bring their neighbors
yes, you do.
Who need. Mm-hmm. I have talked to folks in line at the mobile pantries we've done, everywhere from East Point to Crawfordville to Tallahassee, mm-hmm. and the people who've gotten in line 2 hours early, and they may have a nicer car than the one I drove over to the event, but what they've got is three elderly people in the car.
Exactly.
They've got a family who lives at the end of the street that doesn't have a vehicle mm-hmm. to come, mm-hmm. and they're helping out their neighbors.
Exactly right.
So sometimes appearances aren't what they are.
So exactly. you're saying we shouldn't be judgy?
No, we should not.
Possibly
oh,
not.
Well, what a concept. If you're just joining us again, we are talking about the overarching issue of hunger in our community, but also what our community is doing in response to that issue with everyone from Second Harvest to the Big Bend to the folks over at Godby High School. The location, once again, for this year's full summer program that is coming up June 2.
Yes.
Two. Okay, that is a Saturday. And this is always exciting because even if, since they are full of volunteers here and you want to be involved with it, Mary Deacle, you can still be involved, right?
You certainly can. You can be involved in all the aspects of what Second Harvest is doing over the summer, part of our Hunger-Free Summer Program. You can go to our website, www.fightinghunger.org. There's a calendar of all the events, of places where you can drop food, you can make donations, you can get involved. And there's a calendar of all of those with hyperlinks to the sites of everything from today's fill-a truck to a full summer and everything else. So you can go one place and find out about all these activities. But you can come by full summer on June 2nd and drop off food or contributions, and that will just expand what they're doing that day.
And if you want to check out the area's newest farmer's market, that is open
today,
right now, Maisha.
Yeah, come on. Welcome forward, Community Center. On the south side, right behind Bond Elementary School, that will be a great opening today of what we call the farmer's market, Southside Farmer's Market. And there you can get all your fresh, locally grown food. They have farmers coming from different parts of the community, bringing in the food, sharing it with people. They do accept WIC, you know, and other types of vouchers, so that would be available for people if they need that. And I like to say WIC is a really important thing here because WIC has a great model for the healthy food, you know, what you should get if you're getting food stamps and those types of things. How people can shop for healthier foods is really great. So recipes will be available, help with people who come into the market for the first time, somebody partnering up with them to getting them feel for what you do with this food. You know, have you ever seen this before? What is this? What is an avocado? What do you do with it? And, you know, Mary, you all dropped off all kinds of beautiful food yesterday.
And I think the Food of the Move bus will be there
today. Food of the Move bus is coming. That's a summer initiative through Ho Chow and other partners that we're so excited to see. So reaching young people and families outside of the initial area where there is a stationary place where you can come to eat, they bring the bus to the people. So all these things are in collaboration and partnership. So we can't do a lot of things by ourselves, but together we can do so much more. So this whole initiative with this farmers market today is a collaboration in the city of Tallahassee, and all kinds of groups have come together to make it happen. So we're very excited to see it today.
Well, yeah, echoing something you just brought up, Maisha, is Martha here. She sent us an email, and she wanted to commend everyone here on the panel, yay us, and feels that if home economics had not been cut from the educational curriculum, then some of the issues we've been talking about here would not even be a
thing. Thank you, Martha.
Right. Yeah.
Agreed.
This is so great.
I still have those recipes.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, I was just over at Lincoln, where I went to school and graduated from in 64. There's an area there with the old cafeteria that's still sitting in that property. We really want that to stay in our community. And that's an initiative we're trying to work with now in Frenchtown. How do we keep that area so we can start up a cooking class? Mm-hmm. You know, show people how to actually do this great food that's available to them, and they leave it on the shelf because they don't know how to use it. Mm-hmm. We can't continue to do that. Who, Parky talked about waste. Mm-hmm. A lot of food goes to waste because people don't know what to do with it. So I'm encouraging you guys to think big, you know, how we can all come together in collaboration and figure out what to do with this initiative. Because I think Lincoln County, Tallahassee, is on the ball in so many areas. We have to change that third hungriest county in the whole state of Florida.
Embarrassing, isn't it?
It really is. But to be an all-American city, there's no way we need to go there.
No, well, but even though, because you mentioned Mary Deacle over in Madison County, which is in the top three
as
well. They are number two. You have a gentleman by the name of Art Smith, celebrity
indeed.
Chef Art Smith, who now has affiliated with a farmer's market situation over there. And if you want to find out how to do the ultimate fried chicken, I mean, he does those kinds of things. But that's it to bring in now the celebrity chefs are the big rage, and Chop Jr. and all these. Hello, Whole Child Leon.
Right.
Thank you guys for that.
Yeah.
But to get maybe some of the cooks and the chefs in our area to help in that regard, doing little, I don't know, suitcase training sessions. How do you boil water, guys?
We have a chef, Chef Shack. You know, she's gotten the Food Network recognition recently, and she's one of our partners through the Tallahassee Food Network. And we've been trying to work on what we call GEL, grow, eat, and live, you know, where you actually get people to grow their own food. They come together and they share cooking that meal, and then they eat together. Because we find eating together really helps to reduce these issues that we're dealing with now with childhood obesity and stress and other types of socioeconomic conditions that people experience. Because now you have an opportunity to conversate. You know, communication is going on. The children are talking about their day. You know, teachers have a better time at school now because the kids are less stressful. You know, all these kinds of things are key, and it has to be collaborated. I can't say that enough. We have to bring everybody to the table at every level of our community to address this. So Grow, Eat, and Live is something that we're working on now. We're trying to get more funding for that so Chef Shaq can do her work, you know, effectively. And then the people in the community can benefit learning to eat together, cook together, and show their children the skills that they've learned.
That's like having an ongoing longest table event.
It is. It really is. And we participate in longest table. It's so great. I love it. Bringing people from the community who never would have spoken together. And that's one of the things we've talked about through the Tallahassee Food Network and agro neighborhood, where the young people are actually learning how to grow food of all races, of all diverse groups, any type of group of people who you can find who are working with us in our initiatives. We want our young children, Childs High School, everybody together to work, because we know it takes a village to raise these children, and we really need support to do that.
And it's the one thing we all have in common. We all get hungry. We all got to eat.
You got to eat. Yeah, and we need good, healthy food to do so.
We actually have a horticulture class that started, was it last year?
I think last year was the first year. We had it at Lincoln when I worked there, and I thought, why can't we do that at Gabby?
Yeah.
And so they started a horticulture class, and they're selling fresh fruits and vegetables on our campus.
You know, and you guys, we have the best resources in town, the University of Florida Extension Program. Mm-hmm. FAMU has the Extension Program. 4-H classes are going on, you know, although they're not necessarily in the community, but they will come out and do different things. Horticulture, man, children love to dig in the dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, the Audubon Society, you know, they are part of our initiatives.
High school students do it. They're very happy because they're outdoors, they're doing things, and they're, you know, they have food to sell. It's great.
Yeah, outdoor classrooms, you know, we encourage that.
You know, how'd you guys know that the Extension office was having their open house this Saturday?
See, that's right. They're having a big plant sale, right?
That's
so
right.
So please come out and join them. They start at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday at Paul Russell Road.
Just a few moments that we have left here, I wanted to get a feel for something that I'm kind of picking up on here, and I think you guys are too, that maybe 15 years ago, we would not have a panel like this. Hmm. We would not all be talking along these same lines, would we, Mary, do you think?
Well, I think Tallahassee's always been a giving place on our whole community, but the collaborative nature that we have around this table and with all the people who work with Second Harvest, I know, is remarkable. I mean, we all know that food insecurity is a basic issue. We talk about food. If a child's cupboard is empty when they go home from school, that's a different picture than in somebody else's house, and we need to have that taken care of. But I think that what I have been so pleased with is the folks like at Full Summer and at Gabby High School and the new initiatives going on and the gardens and everybody working together to close that gap. I think the numbers show it.
Mm.
I think we got embarrassed by our ranking in the state, and we're working together on many different levels to try to change and bridge that gap. So I think it's a good place to be in.
Yes, because we were just talking Full Summer 6 years ago when you guys got the thing kicked off there, Laurie Messer. And now, again, a whole bunch of folks that are interconnected and all on the same page around the same table.
Yes, and I guess I for anybody listening out there, what I would say is you know that there's a problem, and you can do something about it. Don't wait to find some organization to join, and that's great if you want to. But be, you know, it's been said before, but be the change that you want to see in the world.
So. Exactly.
Okay, and that keeps you coming back, Tracy, year after year, right?
Oh, well, I can't ever refuse anything that Laurie Messer gets me into. But, yes, I mean, it's an extraordinary opportunity to be with other people who want to be part of the solution.
And from years ago, I remember, Myesha Mitchell, you were the lone voice crying out in the wilderness on so many of these other issues. And now all you are is talking interconnections and coalitions.
That's
and
right.
Other people.
Because I know it works. You know, we started out with the Governor's Initiative back in 1999, you know, working on dealing with issues of community-based organizations doing their thing. You know, how can the people in the community become more empowered to do stuff. And that initiative, Front Porch Florida, really set a lot of people thinking about it. And during the time, I was working with Second Harvest, and I was so happy when we got our first childhood nutritionist right there. That was just a wonderful piece of, to add to the whole initiative. And Feeding America was changing its thinking around food instead of quantity, but quality. I thought, my, this is a great movement. So I've been happy to be involved. And now with Full Summer, we have the summer feeding programs through the state, you know, that always have been helpful. And I'm going to participate again this year. As a matter of fact, when I leave here, I'm going to a training that Bethel AME is offering to make sure that we understand how to deliver this food to children for breakfast and lunch during the day and have maybe supper available to some of these families. So thank you guys for everything you do. Everybody has been a great collaborator and a partner.
Well, and thanks again to Godby and the other schools within the Leon County School District for recognizing that this is definitely something that impacts not just standardized test scores, but the entire educational and learning experience that our kids have to go through.
Yes, indeed.
Definitely.
Folks, that brings us to the end of this hour. Thank you all for being part of our perspective. So Laurie Messer and Tracy Ippolito, Maisha Mitchell, Candace, Kat, Mary Deakel, thank you guys for being part of our discussion today, and have a full summer, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.
This is great.
Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance today provided by Taylor Cox with Lida Rawls on the phones and internet connections. And I'm Tom. Next week, we're going to get a preview of the Florida Animation Festival coming up in June, a multi-day happening launched in 2016 by the Tallahassee Film Society in conjunction with Wells Fargo and The Pod Advertising to showcase amazing animated films. So bring your glasses and we'll see some cartoons on the radio next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.